This is Nurse Geezer News for the week of April 15th, 2019, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hartman Baker. I attended the SIAM CSE conference in Spokane, Washington, at the end of February. At the conference, I was able to get some time with a couple of very busy colleagues from other national labs who are working on the IDEAS ECP project. This exascale computing project funded project is focused on developer productivity and much more. You may already be familiar with their Best Practices for HPC Software Developers series of webinars. Keep listening to find out more. Today's guest is Elsa Gonsorowski. Elsa is an HPC IO specialist at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. Elsa was on a competitive crew team in high school that made it to the national championship several years in a row. Elsa, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rebecca.
So, Elsa, today's topic is the ECP IDEAS PSIP process. So, first of all, that was too much alphabet soup. So, what does all of that stand for?
So, ECP, Exascale Computing Project, they are the DOE's effort to get to exascale and engage all the DOE labs to do science, system software, and hardware to reach exascale. Okay, under ECP, there's a sub-team called IDEAS. The IDEAS sub-team, so Interoperable Design of Extreme Scale Application Software. That's just a lot of words, I think, to make the acronym IDEAS. So it's a way to get broader ideas about software development and software engineering, bring them out from the sub-teams in ECP, and share that knowledge across the teams and engage with the teams to think about software and think about software engineering and development. And then PSIP. So PSIP is the Productivity and Sustainability Improvement Planning. So it is a process. It's a very lightweight workflow or development process just to think about how you're doing software development and software engineering, think about the practices that are out there, and try to improve your own tech practices and get better. So a basic PSIP process would be starting to use version control, going from emailing tarballs back and forth to something like Git, to GitHub, and then maybe adding a Git workflow on top of that.
Oh, okay. So there have been real examples of the PSIP process and people working with that. So
one of our most successful examples is Rinku. Rinku, she was embedded with the MPitch team, and they had a real need to improve their training and onboarding process for new developers. New developers who wanted to work on MPitch, there was a really high bar of understanding what MPI is, and then trying to understand how it's implemented and how it's actually executed on a supercomputer. So Rinku sat down and helped develop some training materials for the MPitch team, and then actually created a website that she shared with everybody or anybody who's interested in learning about MPI. So it was kind of one small team that had this need, but she developed resources that anyone else could be using.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really great. Okay, so this sounds like something that is really great that teams would want to engage with you all. So,
yep, we're always looking for engagement. So we're both developing the tools and trying to try out every tool we develop on a team to see that it works. So we have a GitHub. It's under the Better Scientific Software or GitHub organization called PSIP Tools. So we have some basic tracking cards where if you think you could get better at version control, we say, okay, here's kind of the steps of version control, starting from having a version control system like SVN or something to maybe having a workflow or some other best practices on top of that. So we have these little tracking cards. We'd like to create a huge catalog of these cards so that teams could kind of identify a process they think they could do better in, look up the card, and then start to improve, but we're still working on it. So I think we have Git and a few others, but there could definitely be more.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds really great. So people can look up these cards. Mm-hmm. They could also potentially contact the project if they're interested in
it. Yep. So if they're part of ECP, they can reach out to the ideas team, and we're happy to engage with them. We've run into some challenges because the teams themselves really have to want to put in the effort. We can't just document everything for them. They need to understand where there's a breakdown in their workflow to doing documentation, for example. Mm-hmm. So we're happy to engage and help them, but we are looking for teams to step forward and say, I want to look at my processes, you know, do a baseline evaluation, pick something, and then change it.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're kind of, so to speak, teaching them how to fish. You're giving them examples.
Exactly.
Of how you might fish, and then they can
hopefully
take
they can go fishing. Yes.
From that Good. And go fishing. Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds really great. So let's talk about the ideas project more broadly. So we already said that it's the interoperable design of extreme scale application software. That just sounds kind of like a bunch of words. So what exactly does the Ideas Project do?
So Ideas tries to be cross-cutting and really engage with other ECP teams, both application teams and software tool teams. And the Ideas Project first recognizes needs of the community, so we have some webinars.
Yes, and NERSC users probably know those from reading their weekly email every week that I send you where I talk about those, but go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we do outreach like that. I think ECP members took a survey, and so we were able to look at the survey results to see what the community wanted in terms of training. We also run the Better Scientific Software website. So this is a website that NERSC users or anyone can contribute to that just talks about better scientific software and what it means to be better, or what it means to do scientific software, or what tools are useful. We're very open to contributions from the community. Mm-hmm. So we have blog posts and knowledge articles and basic how-to articles and documentation.
Mm-hmm. And that's what is the URL for that one?
BSSW.io, okay. Better Scientific Software.
.io. Okay.
Yeah. And we try, right now we're kind of building up the editorial board for that, but I've contributed an article on running like a developer day kind of developer networking opportunity at Lawrence Livermore. But the whole process of writing an article is you submit it on GitHub, and it's very familiar to anyone who's worked on GitHub with pull requests and markdown and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. All right, that's great. Okay, so Elsa, switching gears a little bit here, mm-hmm. How did you end up as an HPC IO specialist at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory?
Okay, so it's quite a long story. I'll start at the very beginning. Well, not quite. So I found myself in grad school working on parallel discrete event simulations. We had a BlueGNL, which I thought was the coolest machine ever, till the Q came along. The BlueGNQ is, I think, officially the coolest machine ever. And I was at a summer school, and I met Toni Collis of Women in HPC, and she said, apply to my Women in HPC workshop at Supercomputing. And I was like a third or fourth year PhD, and I had never heard of Supercomputing, even though everything I was doing was HPC. Somehow I just didn't think to go looking for a broader community. So I showed up at Supercomputing, thanks to Toni, and was just floored. Just, holy crap, other people do this too? It's a thing? So I was just so pleased. So once I knew HPC, that's what I wanted to do after grad school. I've always had a passion for science. My undergrad was in physics, but I like computer science. You get paid a little bit more. So I went looking for scientific jobs that still involved computer science, which was my degree, and HPC was the community I started with. So I ended up at Lawrence Livermore, so I had a postdoc offer from Sandia and a staff position offer from Livermore. And when I asked my advisor, which one should I take, he said, well, Lawrence Livermore is going to get one of the world's fastest supercomputers in the next few years. And that's cool, it's not, so you should go there. Yeah, so it is cool. It's not, we just got Sierra, so it's really exciting to run the biggest, second biggest. We're number two, second biggest machine.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're in with FindNet community. That's great. Okay, so to finish up, three things you want NERSC users to know.
Okay, so first, if you haven't already read it, the book The Cuckoo's Egg by Cliff Stoll is all about a guy working at Berkeley doing computer security and system administration in the 70s, like at the birth of the internet, and he ends up tracking a hacker kind of around the world internationally. And it's just a really cool story of what it was like at the birth of the internet and running these kind of these clusters and systems and computing centers and letting the good guys in but keeping the bad guys out. So it's a totally true nonfiction book. Reads more like a experiment log or a journal of his experiences trying to track down this hacker. So very cool. So number two, I think that all NERSC users or anyone developing software should take a step back or take time to reflect on their software development practices and processes and think about how they could be improved. If you don't know, go exploring, go Google. There's always some new practice and process to try. Just because you try something out, it may or may not work for you, but it's always worth trying a new software practice, trying it with your team, not just with yourself, to really reflect on how you're doing software development and try to improve and do it better. The last thing is that the PCIP team, as part of ECP Ideas, is ready to engage with users, especially other ECP developers. Like I mentioned, we're developing these tools, and we hope that they're useful for people to take them and use them on their own. We understand we might not be quite there yet, so if any ECP teams are ready to engage with us, we'd be happy to show you where our tools are, help you maybe take a baseline of what your practices are now, and maybe identify something that you and your team could improve in the future.
All right, well, those are three really useful things. So thanks so much for joining me today, Elsa.
Thanks for having me.